And for pastors having me in at this time, it's a strange time we're living in. And then on top of that, it's a great time, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And normally I don't get to come here at that time of year, but it's a great privilege. And I wanted to see Cher, and I wanted to see the new Dom's and Stephanie's new baby. So hello vicariously, is that how you say it? I had to look that word up. I thought it was the veins, or well, that's a different word, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that is a different
word. Vicarious veins or something like that.
Varicose.
He's living varicosely by me. I had to look it up in the dictionary. Okay. Anyway, we're thankful to be here, and I'm not teasing. I went out to eat at Texas Roadhouse last night, and we ate so good. And I've been trying to cut back because this year I broke 200 for the first time in my life. And so I was shocked. And I love the room, the guest room they have, the bed I sleep every time. I sleep so good on that bed. I want to put it in my suitcase and go home with that. But this year they had a very poor addition to the room. It was a set of scales they have on the floor. And why are we so tempted to tap on that thing and get up on there? I'm not joking. We came home from Texas Roadhouse, and I jumped up on the scale right when we got home, and it said 205. And I was a little bit depressed, and I came out of the room acting my big faith smile on and everything, and they said, "Would you like some cheesecake with cherries on top?" Sure.
Let me just say one thing. Some of us would love to see 205.
Oh, yeah. So they put this, and it's not just a little cheesecake. I mean, this is not a little, it's a big cake like that. And cherries and whipped cream. What, whipped cream? Yeah. I ate the best cheesecake I think I've ever had. That couldn't come from New York. That had to come from further south. It was so good. This morning I woke up, and why did I get back on that scale? I was 195. I lost 10 pounds eating that cheesecake. It is an awesome, a heavenly cake. I want to take at least 10 more pounds of that cake with me home. But you lose weight eating that cake. Anyway, thank you all so much. And thank you for your support, your friendship, because, you know, God has supernaturally blessed my wife and I for our needs, our housing, our kids' schooling, everything. God has blessed us in every way you can imagine. But the ministry, what we do, is fully supported by you all and one church in Dallas and a couple of individuals. We don't have a big network, no newsletter or anything. And so we've been, this last 3 years, we've been going to, as Pastor said, to Lebanon and to Albania and to Greece and, you know, just all over. All the churches we go to in France and in Switzerland, wherever we go, it's sponsored by y'all's support. And we go there and we pay to go there, you know. And that comes out of everything y'all have blessed us with. And so we are just so thankful. And it's been beautiful to see what God is doing. If you jumped on a plane, Sean, here in Lynchburg and took off for 3 hours, where could you go? Could you get to Wisconsin? You go see Green Bay Packers in 3 hours?
Go to Charlotte.
Charlotte. Well, to Charlotte, okay. Well, that's not that far. And now, in Switzerland, you get on a plane in 3 hours, and you can be in Lebanon. You can be in Israel. You can be in northern Africa. You can be, you know. So these places are so close to us. So everything you see on the news that's happening in the Middle East or in Europe, it's like it's happening in Charlotte for y'all. It's 3 hours away. And it blows me away every time I go there. It's like, wow, this is so close to home, all this stuff that's happening. And it's just a mountain range over, and you're there. And so it's a huge privilege, and it's a time God has chosen us to live in this time for a purpose. And it's an opportunity that we need to seize. And I just have a word for y'all that I believe is prophetic. And I believe it's prophetic because it comes out of the prophets. Habakkuk. It comes out of the book of Habakkuk. And It's a scripture that we used at our wedding. We had it on every placemat at our wedding 32 years ago. And it's Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. And it's a beautiful scripture. You all probably have heard it, know it. It says that we were singing about it. Just about every single song. And Pastor Ken's prayed about it. The glory of God. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Have you ever heard that before? No? If you haven't heard, let's look at it. Look in your own Bible and look at it, because this is a word for this church. It's a word for this country. It's a word for us personally. In verse 14, it says, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Isn't that beautiful? It's poetic. Perfect for a wedding, right? Well, what is he talking about here? He's talking about social injustice. The minor prophets, they were the champion of the underdogs. And they were social justice warriors before any of these guys came along with spray paint. These guys were laying down their life for justice. And if you read the Message Bible, Pastor lent me his Message Bible, just look at the introduction to Habakkuk and the first chapter. And I know it's not in the Hebrew, but Eugene Peterson, he put, "Justice is a joke." And that's how this chapter starts. That's how this book starts. And Habakkuk, he's not like Isaiah or Jeremiah pointing a finger from God at us. Habakkuk is like us, crying out to God with questions. And Habakkuk, his cry to God is, "I'm the only true Christian. I'm the only true priest. The rest of them are a bunch of hypocrites. They're all hypocrites. I'm the only one serving you, God. It's not fair." Now, he was a priest, but for a housewife or for a businessman or for an athlete or for, you know, whatever area you're in, you're going to find injustice. And you're going to say, "It's just not fair." That's what Habakkuk was crying out to God. And God said, "Don't worry." In chapter 1, verse 13, I believe it is, he said, "I'm going to judge Israel with Babylon." And then Habakkuk says, "Well, that's worse. How can you judge your people? It's not fair, but how can you judge your people with people who are more unfair than them?" It was a big dilemma. Many situations in our life, we don't feel like it's fair. And then God answers Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "Don't worry, Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. You're suffering injustice. Don't worry. The just will go through it by faith. The just in this country will go through it by faith. The just in this town, in this church, will go through it by faith. And what is the context? In chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "The glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea." What is the context? What is glory? You know, I looked up the definition in Hebrew, and, you know, you've heard definitions probably all your Christian life. It just means heavy. It's hard to define. It just means God's presence. But it's more than that. In verse 13, Habakkuk 2:13, it says, "Cities will no longer be built by blood of men and by oppression." So that's what they're saying. In the future, cities will be built by the glory of God, not by fraud, not by extortion. If you go to Dubai today, the whole city was built by slave workers, Sri Lankans and people from India and stuff were coming over there, and they weren't allowed to call home. They're like slaves building that city of Dubai. I go to Lebanon, to Beirut, and there's a lady we minister to. She's a pastor of slaves. They're home cleaners, femme de ménage, cleaning ladies. And when they get to town, they get a job, the owners take their cell phone for a year, maybe 6 months if they work hard. After 6 months, they give the cell phone back to them. And she's their pastor. They don't get to come out for maybe 6 months. When they do, she's there. And she's just one pastor out of all these other people from all around the world. Beirut is like Casablanca back in World War II. Everybody's coming there waiting to get a passport to get out of town. And so here they are, and God meets them there. But it's unjust. It's not fair. And the news, whether you're left or right, it doesn't matter. They're only telling you stuff that happened yesterday. They can't tell you the future. I think I shared some of y'all with y'all the last time I was here about some of the people coming out of Syria into Lebanon. There's 1 million refugees from Syria that documented. There's probably 2 million, but there's 1 million refugees in Lebanon, a country of 3 million people. That's like one-third of the whole country's population is refugees. And the Christians were sharing with me at first, we despise them. You know, they're poor. They just want handouts. They're just here living under bridges, living in the streets. And then our hearts were broken for them. And then we feel called to love them. And my pastor friend who was there, I think Ben got involved or wrote me about, asked questions about Pastor Saeed Deep. His father-in-law was pastor of this church. They got 700 seats on three different floors, a huge church in the Armenian side of town, the poor side of town. And they rented out to Lebanese churches, like Hillsong, real young. And he said, come on, we got a concert at our church tonight. Come. And they honored him. They let us sit in the front row and watch it. He said, man, this is awesome. And this is great. And he loved it. But his church was down in the basement. And they're all Muslims. 60, 70% Muslim in his church. Head coverings. And when I was there, like 20 of them got baptized. And they got young men. It wasn't a cool summer camp thing. They were risking their lives to get baptized and come to Christ. Big tears coming out of their eyes. I'm like, gosh. I took a guy from England. He said, I want to get baptized. He jumped in there. He got baptized with me. And then he comes out. He says, I want to get back in and help baptize them. So he jumps back in. He wants to baptize. And it was so powerful. It was just so what God is doing. And the news can't show us that stuff because they don't believe it or they don't understand it. I'm glad they don't. That'd be dangerous. It could cause their lives. It would cost them their lives. But the whole context of Habakkuk is that the earth has been established. I was talking with Pastor Ken. The world system is just not clear. It's not. There's a lot of under the table things happening. A lot of bribes and a lot of kickbacks, and that's just how things work. But in the kingdom of God, God is light and there is no darkness in him whatsoever. It's a message we've heard from the beginning. But Habakkuk is saying here, okay, if we live by faith, hey, the earth will be covered with the glory of God. It will be established. Cities will be built by the glory of God. Couples will be made by the glory of God. Businesses will be built. The seven different mountains of society. What is it? The arts, education, politics, and education. What are they? I'm having a Biden moment right now. I can't remember what. I'm sorry. Cut that, please, off there. I don't know where that came from. Forgive me. But what are those seven different mountains of society? God wants to influence every single one of them. And when we see the glory of God hitting Israel for the first time, it was with Solomon. He was in Jerusalem. And the glory of God, yeah, in the temple came so strong that people couldn't even stand up. But that was just the temple. What about on the throne, Solomon was sitting there, and it influenced the Queen of Sheba. She, the half has not even been told to me of the glory of God. And she came just to see it. She left town with more money than what she came with. And that was a picture of the glory of God in politics. We as Christians, we see the glory of God. We think, yeah, okay, the earth will be filled with the glory of God. That's like a big Christian concert all around the world, probably. I don't know. And yeah, as a Christian, why not have the praise of God everywhere? But it's more than that. It's like Tim Tebow in sports. It's like in every area, in education, in politics, seeing the glory of God. Are you guys following me right now?
Yes.
That's the context of Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk's this priest, and he's writing this stuff down, and he's recording it. It's one of the smallest books in the Bible. It's back there where your pages are still stuck together for many people. And he never would have imagined that, you know, it was what, 7th century B.C.? He never would have imagined that 600, 700 years later, Paul would find his scripture, the just shall live by faith. And that's Paul's text for Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. The pillars of the New Testament came from this priest who was suffering injustice in leadership. Did Paul suffer injustice in leadership? The whole nation was unjust, the leaders. And Paul was standing up for the truth. The just, Romans, how can you be righteous? shall live, Galatians, living in the Spirit, by faith, Hebrews. And Habakkuk 2:4 was the main text that Paul used. And so the glory of the Lord spread throughout Asia Minor and all of what we know of Europe. And what is it? The U.S. News and World Report said the minute that Paul crossed the Aegean Sea, the fate of Europe and Americas was determined. Wow. Can you imagine that? Just when he crossed the sea with this mission to bring the glory of God, all of Europe and America was set like that. Can you imagine that? That's amazing. And then Habakkuk, he never saw that, but he said it. The glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. He could see it spiritually, like you were saying. Just pull a glimpse back, Lord, and let us see what's happening in the spirit realm. I've been watching Fox News too much. I've been comparing with CNN too much. Neither one of them can tell us what God can show us by looking into the glory of God. They're both so limited. Maybe they're both trying their best. We don't know. But that's a problem when we get left and right. We need to get above news. We need to have a new channel called The Above Side, you know. Just get a glimpse of what God is trying to do. So Habakkuk never dreamed of Paul. Maybe he did. But I doubt he could see 1,500 more years and see Martin Luther. After 1,500 years of Martin Luther's crawling up this cathedral, trying to please God, his knees are bloody. And he says, this isn't pleasing God. Why would God take pleasure in this? And he finds in Galatians, the just shall live by faith. And the whole Reformation, was there injustice in the church at that time? If you've ever read the Canterbury Tales and the Dark Ages, you know that the church was abusing people and just dominating people. And Martin Luther sees this prophecy that the just shall live by faith. And the whole Reformation starts and brings life back to the church and pulls us out of the Dark Ages. Some people believe it was caffeine, because coffee showed up in Europe in 1515. The Reformation started in 1517. Beware of a caffeinated preacher, they say. But I believe it was Habakkuk. Amen. This is getting deep, I know. Many people think if I have a can of spray paint and I go protest and I'm a social warrior, what a giant of a, you know. But I was telling you about my friend in Beirut. They had this wave of refugees come in, and then this pandemic starts, and then the whole town is just blown up by negligence. Negligence is not an accident. You know? Negligence is a crime. And if you look at Joseph, you look at his life story. He was sold as a slave, you know, and then he went to jail. But he was freed, and he brought the glory of God to Egypt, which was not negligence. It was incredible management, which saved the whole known world at that time. Not just the people of God, saved the whole known world. The glory of God, we've seen glimpses. It's covered the face of the earth. I've been in a revival in the 80s where I saw the glory. I got a glimpse of the glory of God, and I believe it was for a purpose, so that we come back and say, yes, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. In my family, the will of the Lord will be done. The kingdom will come in my life as it is in heaven. And I will insist. And I come back to Habakkuk, and I'm fed by this. So my friend, Pastor Saeed, he's there, and they've gone through all this stuff, and then the whole town explodes. He was at the port 5 minutes before it exploded. The church is just 2 minutes down the road. And so when there's no traffic, when there's traffic, it's probably 3 hours, but no traffic. You're in 2 minutes, you're at his church. And what is he doing? He's not out with spray paint and protesting. He's feeding children, every single Muslim kids. What do you got to do that for? Why don't you feed the Lebanese people? Hey, he loves the Muslim. He's there. That's what he wants to see them get saved and baptized. And he asked me to come, and I go, and I'll share Matthew through Revelation in 12 hours, give them the whole New Testament, a survey of the New Testament, and then the United Nations sends them out to Canada, America, wherever. They don't know where they go, but they're born again, baptized, and they got the New Testament in their heart. And so God is spreading the glory of God, and we don't even see it happening. We can't see this stuff happening. We think it's all injustice everywhere. But God is moving in powerful ways. Charlotte Elliott, you've heard of her, a lady in a wheelchair, and she said, I can't do anything for God. I'm crippled, I'm limited, I can't do anything from God. So she decided to write a song, and she wrote Just As I Am without one plea. And Billy Graham has used that song, and more people have come to Christ using that song. God has used a woman in a wheelchair to bring millions of people to Him. It's not fair. Why am I in this wheelchair? Well, I'm not trying to get to all the whys. We don't know all the whys. I'm just saying God can use us in a wheelchair. He can use us in Lebanon feeding refugees. He can use us in spite of injustice. His glory will cover the earth. And Habakkuk didn't invent this. I don't know if you followed throughout the Bible. When God was trying to drag His people to a promised land, they had heel marks all the way from Egypt all the way to the promised land. Let's go back and get some onions. It's too hard out here. God brought us out here to kill us and our children. And they're just dragging this whole nation from Egypt all the way to the promised land. And they can't go in. It's their past. I don't know. It's their education. It's their culture. They can't go in. And Moses says what? God forgive them. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. And God said, okay, I'm going to forgive them. But the earth will be filled with the glory of God as long as... And that was His idea. That's His idea of glory, is bringing His people into the promised land, bringing Israel into Jerusalem, putting Solomon or Jesus on the throne where cities and nations will be established, not by extortion. When I first arrived in Europe, one of the first things I saw was Ceausescu, the leader of Romania, dragged out in the street and shot by his own people because he had built opulent palaces with the labors of the people. There's tons of money, even in poor Romania, enough money to build palaces. It made Versailles and Paris, France. It dwarfed it in this poor communist country. What are they doing? Building huge palaces for themselves. If they would follow the Lord, the glory of God would change Romania. There's plenty of resources for this stuff. But we resist it. But God is saying, I heard it in the prayer of the brother back here prayed, let go and let God or something, or abandon and release our will to God. I think we need to look at the news, but man, let's pull our eyes away from the news and look at Habakkuk, what he went through. And then what did he do after this word of God came to him? If you look at the rest of the book, I've got so many examples. Maybe before we get back to William Carey, I don't know if y'all have studied him, or he's the father of modern missions. He's an Englishman, and he wrote a book. When Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis on Wittenberg on the castle there against indulgences and against traditions of men and religion to bring back the Spirit of God, to bring back the glory of God, that was the biggest shaking that the church had experienced for 1,500 years. And from Martin Luther, from then until 1780, when William Carey wrote this book, 1760, he was born, 18, whatever, seven in the middle there. He was born, and he was an Englishman. And, you know, Calvinism had taken over Europe, hyper-Calvinism. And he wrote a book, and the title of the book probably wouldn't sell very much today. This is the title of the book: Inquiry into the Obligations of the Christians to Use Means for the Conversion of the Heathen. Isn't that a great title, you know? But his proposition was, if it's the duty of all men to believe the gospel, then it is the duty of those who are entrusted with the gospel to try to make it known among all nations. Here I am, Lord, send me. And he's crying as he says this. And his pastor says, sit down and shut up. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid or mine. And William Carey, that's how he was sent out from his church. There was no mission agency. There's no YWAM. There's no Campus for Christ. He left England with that send out. He gets to India. And I don't know if you read this story. The first 7 years, not one convert in 7 years. His wife loses his mind. He translated a couple of languages, and it was burnt up in a fire. After 7 years, maybe he thought, maybe my pastor was right. He saw zero fruit for 7 years. For 7 years, there was total injustice. You can imagine what Habakkuk felt like, what you and I feel like many times. This isn't what I signed up for, God. But when he died, he had put an end to sati. You know what sati is? It's when they burned alive the widow of a dead man, even if she was young. The man was 80, she was 40. She dies with him. They burn the woman with the man and all his possessions. And William Carey put an end to that legally. That's the glory of God. Not just a mission station, not just a mission agency, but changing laws that are killing people. Amen? You got these ladies out there, women's lib stuff, fighting social justice. They want equality with men. I'll tell you what, they'll regret it the minute they get it. And they'll want their superiority back. You know what I'm talking about? God looked at man and said, it's not good that man's alone. But he never said that about women. Women are great. They're fine. We can't live if living is without you, babe. But women are fine without men. I mean, if you get equality with us, you're going to need. You're going to need. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject here. Sorry. William Carey. When he died, there was like, I don't know, 40 different. He killed that law, and there was 40 different translations of the Bible when he died, and hundreds of converts in India. And he's the father of modern missions. But everybody has gone through this injustice. But these are true, you know, warriors for a cause. One thing that he said, and this flies in the face of Calvinism. It's very simple. And if I would say this, it's no big deal. But he said it. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Now, if you write on paper, are you a Calvinist? You'd say, no, I don't believe so. I believe that we have a choice. But this Calvinism tried to creep in and keeps us from attempting great things from God. It keeps us from expecting great things from God. I've been preaching for the last 3 years, Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. A thick darkness will cover the earth, but the nations will come to the light on you. And this is in many different areas. This last year, my daughter was singing in the Stravinsky Hall. It's where B.B. King and anybody who ever was an artist has sung. It's a world-renowned jazz festival. And when we first started our church there in Montreal, we went down there. Y'all heard the song, Smoke on the Water? Boom, 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 boom. We all went down to Montreal. That's where it's at. That's where we have our church. And I will keep my daytime job, don't worry. I won't be doing covers for Deep Purple, but right there in the Stravinsky Hall, for the last 50 years, they've had Queen and the Rolling Stones, all these people come through there, the biggest names in music. And my wife and I looked at this place. We thought, maybe we could rent this place. We checked out the price, the seating and everything. We could have Joyce Myers come and just do a leadership. It's not big enough for one of her conferences, but have a leadership, maybe 3,000 seats in there. And we were thinking about it, who we could call. We know people who hosted her in Paris, and we know people who hosted her in Frankfurt and Germany and stuff. And we were really seriously thinking about it. But we weren't thinking about my daughter being a soloist, singing solos at the Stravinsky Hall with an orchestra of 100 instruments, an adult choir of 150 people, and a children's choir of 100 people. And she's the soloist. And I was on the, you know, I was in there just saying, man, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. And it's not just preaching a sermon on Sunday or having a Christian conference in a famous singing hall. Why don't you do some singing in the singing hall, you know? God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're above them. But we can have them in Christ. We can seek his will. Amen. Am I going over on time here? I'm not even looking at my watch. Some of y'all are. Am I doing okay?
Doing good.
Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. I'm going to finish up with just a few scriptures. You know, when we started our ministry, we had these little pamphlets we handed out for missions, you know, with an envelope inside. And the main scripture we put on there was Psalms 96:3. I'm sorry. We didn't do that. And it said, declare his glory among the heathen. Proclaim his goodness among the nations. And that was our mission scripture. Declare his glory among the heathen. Well, what do the heathen want to know about the glory of God? It means freedom from oppression. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. It means we're going to build your culture. We're going to build your culture up without extortion, without oppression. Amen? Amen. And then the last scripture, since it's Christmas, y'all know Handel's Messiah, which is from Isaiah 40, verse 5. And there's a modern rendition. I just posted it last night. Kind of a, not reggae, but kind of a celebration. Soul celebration of Handel's Messiah. And it's all about the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see the glory of God. Isaiah 40, verse 5. So it's not just one scripture in Habakkuk. It's from Genesis all the way. And it's a prophecy, and we're part of that prophecy. It's a prophetic word. And I believe it takes faith to enter into it. And that's what Habakkuk said. He said, God said to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And so then Habakkuk, how does he respond? And we'll finish with there. At the end of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17, he says, if the fig tree doesn't blossom, you know, if there's no cows in the stall, if there's no grapes on the vine, in other words, if everything that could go wrong does go wrong, yet I will praise the Lord.
Amen.
And verse 19 says what? It says, the Lord is my strength. He makes me rise up on my places of responsibility. Not to shrink back in terror, but to rise up. The Lord is my strength. And I could go on and on and on through the prophets, but that's what they did. They would give thanks. Jonah, in the belly of a whale, seaweed wrapped around his head. Chapter 2, verse 9, he said, those who observe lying vanities, CNN and Fox, that's all they look at. If they observe lying vanities, they will forsake their own mercy. But I will give thanks to the Lord. And Jonah started praising God in the middle of that whale. And that whale spit him up on the beach. I would love to see that video when I get to heaven. You know, the family down there building sandcastles, and here comes a whale. And Jonah comes out. I would repent too, man. This guy was seaweed. I was like, repent or God's going to destroy you all. I say, okay, God, I surrender. I surrender all. Anyway, I believe we're living in amazing times. And I believe things are going to even heat up, and the darkness is going to even get thicker. I believe it is. It's not, I mean, I saw this thing on Facebook. It had 2020, a little bitty wave, and 2021 behind it, a huge wave behind it. And it's like, that's what the Bible says. It says in the last times, you know, perilous times will come. So I'm not here to prophesy things are going to get better. I'm here to say, for us, the glory of God will rise upon us, and our light will get brighter and brighter. But you could be in Lebanon, and a million refugees come. That could happen, you know. I don't know. I mean, when Habakkuk wrote this thing, it was Babylon coming to take them away into captivity. And when they went into captivity, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they shined. And Cyrus shined. An ungodly leader was used by God more than almost all of the kings of Israel. Is that possible? We don't think like this, you know. We think Andy Griffith should be president of America, you know, or Obie or somebody. But God uses Cyrus, and, you know, he changed the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody ever confronted Nebuchadnezzar. They just bowed down. Daniel was the first one to confront him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the first ones to confront him. And he started preaching the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Would you all stand up with me? Let's just pray and believe God. Father, you said, just will live by faith. Not just exist, but we would thrive. We would expand. We would expect great things from you. We would attempt great things for you. And I pray for this church, Lord, that they would, while others are shrinking back, that we would step forward. We would expect things from you right now in the midst of these times. Anybody here suffering injustice, they would expect your glory. Expect your glory to show up in their business, in their relationships, in this church. Pastor, when Becky was singing, I felt the glory of God coming in this church. It was powerful. Thank you, Lord. That this church, that we will arise and shine because your light has come, Lord. The glory of the Lord is rising upon your people in this nation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.